Good morning. Welcome to the FTS bet slip on Wednesday, the 8th of April. Today we have Gary Smith on, just like a couple of blokes talking down the pub. Gary's been an FTS member for only a year. Match betting background again. So I've got a little sort of 25-minute chat with Gary coming up, which we will get to in a minute. Other bits and pieces that we've got today, I have got recipe of, this is a lovely one, I make this all the time, again suitable for the vegetarians, penne pasta with just a homemade tomato and parmesan sauce. This is really, really easy. All you need is two or three cloves of garlic, a couple of shallots or a couple of onions, about 750 grams of cherry tomatoes, get some good quality ones if you can, and a few basil leaves, a bag of penne pasta, whatever it is, 75 grams a person, I think, and a wedge of parmesan. Just cook the pasta as per the instructions on the packet. While that's cooking, takes 15-20 minutes. While that's cooking, melt a knob of butter in a frying pan, low heat. Cook the onion and garlic, just soften it up for a couple of minutes. The cherry tomatoes, if you do this before you start, they need to be halved. So just halve the cherry tomatoes before you get everything going. Once you've done that, soften the garlic, soften the onion shallot. Put the cherry tomatoes in there with a good amount of salt, and literally just let them cook. Stir them every 2 or 3 minutes. Just let them until they go soft and mulch down into a sauce type consistency. Don't put it on a high heat. Just let them cook slowly. When the pasta is then cooked, drain that. Add a good 100 grams of grated parmesan to the pasta with a knob of butter and stir that round. Then stir in the tomato sauce that you've made. Just coat the pasta in that, stir that. Serve it on a plate, sprinkle with more parmesan and a few basil leaves. And there you have a lovely little sauce. If you want to add some oregano to the sauce when it's cooking, fresh or dried, that also lifts the flavour. But it's a really simple, cheap dish. We have it quite regularly. Certainly before we did the keto, it was one we had sort of probably once every fortnight at least. Very tasty if you get good tomatoes. Simple to make. Be done in 20-30 minutes. Filling, serve it with a bit of bread, whatever. Lovely. So there you go. There's another little vegetarian number. Pasta with a penne pasta with a homemade tomato sauce. That's that bit. Right, what else have we got? We have got, before we get to old Gary boy. Book of the day. Let's do the book of the day. Book of the day. This is one of my favourites. I think Lord Dio found out his old nemesis is mushrooms, didn't we? Old kryptonite is mushrooms. But I think this was one of his that he mentioned. I may be wrong, but I think so. I like this guy. I like this author. I like him on the podcast he did with Flintoff and Savage. Matthew Syed. And I've actually got two, maybe three of his books in this list, depending on how long this lockdown goes on for. But starting off with Bounce, The Myth of Talent and the Power of Practice. This is exactly my way of thinking. I cover with Gary when we talk later that I am a firm believer in anybody can do what I do. I think it is just approach, attitude. Most people go about it wrong, start wrong, and when you start wrong, it's harder. I'm not a massive believer in natural talent. I do think there's people who've got talent, but I think most people get where they are by grinding and hard work, making mistakes, learning from those mistakes. And Bounce, basically, is about, the guy was an Olympic athlete, table tennis player. Just a really good book on what it takes to get to the top, and yeah, really good read. So Matthew Syed, Bounce. As I say, I've got another one of his which we'll save for a few days time, but again, it's only £4 on Kindle. Somebody pointed out, because I said I'm going to give all these books away, and somebody pointed out to me yesterday, probably rightly, that wait until the lockdown is over and giving the books away probably wouldn't be the best practice. So what I'm going to do is hold a competition probably towards the end of this month, where all the books that I've done so far I will give to somebody, and then they've gone read some of them through the lockdown, and then we'll do the same again towards the end of May, and hopefully we'll be coming out the other end then, because people are staying in, behaving themselves and doing what they should do. And then we get through this quicker. I forgot to mention the master's quiz yesterday. That's good to see. Good how organised I am. So there's a master's quiz, which we're running 5 questions a day. It's on the website, ftsincome.co.uk/masters-quiz-part. And then hyphen, and today is number 3. If you want part 2, put number 2 in there. If you want part 1, put number 1 in there. So part 1, 2 and 3. So ftsincome.co.uk/masters-quiz-part-, and then the number. We're up to day 3, so there's been 10 questions already. Another 5 today. We're going to go right through till Sunday, when it would have been Masters Sunday. You've got to enter every day to have a chance of winning. And it will be the person who's entered every day that has got the most correct answers. And if there's a tie, who's done it in the quickest? Your entries are timed when you're doing them, to stop the old Google bots doing it. So that's online. I'll cover that every day, but you can go back if you've missed a day and go back. Just change the number at the end of that web address. And I think there needs to be a slash after that number. So it's ftsincome.co.uk/masters-quiz-part-, and then either number 1, 2 or 3, and then a slash, and that should take you to the right web page. Right, I have now got the stat of the day. And the stat of the day, I've had a request after the pod the other day, and obviously we're going to have, as I say, another 50 days of this, so there'll be loads of stats to come. But somebody asked me if I could do some more on Ultimate and anything on the new league in particular. So let's give you one for Ultimate members who've got the new league spreadsheet. This one's a good test of the resolve because it's backing slightly bigger prices, so you'll have longer losing runs. There is longer losing runs in here of up to sort of 10 or 12 points. But all leagues, home teams priced from the column G, the Betfair odds, between 4 and 8, where the home value, so the value I make it, is greater than 0, so I'm basically making it a lower price than is available. You can back it at a bigger price than I think. So all leagues, home team between 4 and 8, where there is value, and remove the two form extremes. So take the green form off the home team, so just do amber, red and grey, and take the red form off the away team, so just do green, amber and grey. So we're taking away teams that are really playing well at home, and obviously get back down, and teams who are playing really badly away, and as such, again, the home team odds are probably going to be too low. So between 4 and 8, positive difference, no green home teams, no red away teams, and that produces across all 7 leagues, that produces 472 bets for a profit of backing the home team of 69 points. And laying the away team, and the away team sort of lay odds here are fairly short because obviously you're backing big price home teams. So just taking a selection of they're pretty much averaging about 1.8. So backing the home team is 69 points profit, and laying the away is 42.7 points profit. Obviously, if you do the two, you're going to have a lot of games where you wipe each other out. But you're also going to have a smoother ride by laying the away team as well, because obviously you're not going to just always have losses, that you've got the draws on your side. So, you know, if it's a draw, you lose the home back but win the away lay. So that is the stat of the day, which is an Ultimate new leagues one for you. Get it on your list for people with that. Apologies to people who haven't got Ultimate, but there's been loads of stats for you, and there will be more. I'm just trying to look after everybody. I try and answer all requests and help people out. The thing I forgot today, and we're not going to have it now because I can't find it and I haven't lined one up, is the joke of the day. I forgot to get the emails out for that. So joke of the day will return tomorrow. I'm going to pass you over now to the chat with Gary. So it's about 25 minutes chat with Gary. And then that is that. I'll say a quick goodbye at the end and we'll be back with you tomorrow. But here is me and Gary just having a little chat about things. On our guest pods. Already we've done a sound test and you've eclipsed Suggsy because I can absolutely hear you. And you're sitting in your 1980s Del Boy flat that we can see there. Wow, son. Just to give an intro to FTS, guys, Gary's a short-term FTS member. I think, Gary, I met you probably about a year ago for the first time.
Yes, that's right, yeah.
Like others, you also had been into match betting. So I know you've done, again, quite well at it. So I just wanted to touch on that and talk about how you really got from match betting to finding me. And despite you being a Liverpool fan, I quite like you.
Here we go.
So how long have you been betting?
Well, morning everyone. Just before I start, I'd just like to say I won't be singing today on the pod because one terrible singer on this pod is more than enough, I think. So
you know.
Right, yeah, I started match betting back in June 15. A mate of mine sort of put me in touch with it, and I signed up to Profit Accumulator, and I was a bit risk averse at the start, so I only really covered the sports side of things, and then I did match betting through to December 18. In the last 6 months, I've managed to force myself into a bit of casino. And I really wish I'd done that from the start, really, because I made a fair bit of money in those last sort of 6 months. But yeah, I generally did really well out of it. I made a good sum and went into sort of sports trading with a fair-sized bank. So. Yeah,
so when you got into it in 2015, had you bet before? Were you interested in betting or was it just something that you...
I've always had a bet, you know, gone down the bookies, done my football accumulator every Saturday morning, you know, with my mates and stuff. But no real, sort of just a general punter, really. A few quid here, a few quid there. Then I stumbled across this match betting. And while I was doing that, I didn't really have a mug. Bet. Why did I need to? I was making good money match betting. I didn't want to waste my money.
Risk-free, you know. Yeah, I get it. So when you said you did I mean, I know nothing about it because I never did it, that risk-free casino bit for 6 months.
Well, no, it was low-risk casino. So there was an element of risk, but everything was plus EV. So in the end, you made money, but I really had to push myself to go into that side.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to say the transit. I mean, I mentioned Chris Jones. Chris is the one I know does it well, and I know he does casino offers. So you moved from the sports betting, you know, which...
Well, I carried on with the sports betting. And,
But the evolution then to casino, I know you may still do it in the background, but was it a big shift in mindset, that? Did you find it hard work?
No, because, I mean, it would have been if I hadn't have hit the ground running, but I had a really big win. Early on, Coral and Ladbrokes were doing an offer, sort of bet 20, get £10 cash or £10 bonus. They varied it from week to week, and I hit a £4,500 win in the sort of first couple of months I was doing it. So I got lucky.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Never fucking mentioned that when we were out for a beer, did you?
I spent it on me, into my parents. On a holiday. I always sort of tried to accumulate the money and save it. But I always said if I got a higher than £3,000 win, I'll treat myself and my kids and my family to something. So that's what we did.
So I'll tell you what you should treat yourself to. Some fucking new wallpaper, son. Get yourself down B&Q's.
Here we go.
Right. So I don't really know how we met. How did you find FTS?
So when the match betting offers started drying up and stuff, I was looking for something else to get involved in. And I just put sports training into Google, and it came up with your website, FTS Income. So I had a look around that, and I basically started listening to the pod in March 2019.
Right, so it's pretty much a year then.
Yeah, it's literally a year, yeah.
And you joined Ultimate, I know, and you've had some ups and downs, but you've learnt a bit along the way, I think.
Yeah, well, when I started, like everyone else, I suppose, I thought, or like the majority of people, I thought it was going to be so easy to jump from match betting into this, and it wasn't.
And it isn't.
No, it isn't. And I've made every single mistake you can imagine. Every single mistake you say on the pod, I've made.
And now a year on, you feel in a better place?
A year on, I'm now in a much better place, and I'm making money.
And for a bit of my own self sort of worth, and I'll use this pod as a promotion, your FTS experience being positive?
Oh, 100%, yeah.
Yeah, brilliant. Yeah,
listening to your dulcet tones every day, hammering home, you know, what to do right in this as opposed to what to do wrong, and you just pick up bits day by day and learn.
Good, and we've become.
I think Paul said it in last week. This is the long game. This is a long game, and you just got to keep progressing bit by bit. I mean, when I come into this sports trading palaver, with my match betting, I literally was a pencil and bit of paper guy. I put all my profits on, and so I come from a construction industry background, so I had no real computer experience, no experience of Excel, spreadsheets, and I've picked up little bits from you, little bits off Ultimate videos on how to do spreadsheets, macros, just learning constantly, day by day.
And I mean, me and you have met for a beer a few times. We met in London, had a beer. You came to that Tottenham-Liverpool fucking debacle. And we met for a beer before that, not after it. And we've had a game of golf and duffed up a couple of fucking cabbages. I'm going to get Kevin Kelly a new part.
Cabbages?
Huh?
Are you going to mention those cabbages?
Well, it's Suggsy and Kelly, isn't it? You played with them at Lingfield after the race day, and then we played them in a match. I played them with Simon Goldsworthy, so now we've got to kick Suggsy out and get Kevin Kelly with Simon Goldsworthy and see if they can give us a game, because he's old Suggsy's the weak link, isn't he? I mean, let's be honest, he is, isn't he?
He's two holes behind, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, the only image I've got is him with that, his arse sticking out that bush. I've said to you numerous times a phrase which you pick me up on, and that is, anybody can do what I do.
Yeah.
I think when you were watching me, particularly before the Tottenham-Liverpool game, sort of go from sipping a pint of Guinness into work mode, you were like, what's going on here?
Sure.
But obviously that's what I want for you guys, and you're somebody who I've spoke at length with about these sort of things. So what are your aims and goals now? Now you've got, you know, obviously we're in a strange period. There's no football, but let's assume 6 months' time, football's up and running. We're back, normal season starting. Liverpool haven't won the league because we've wiped that one off. We've just started in September, as it should be, a normal league. what's your aims and goals, and what time span have you sort of got for those? I'm just interested to hear now you've done a year.
Well, the penny dropped for me sort of towards Christmas, and I had a rejig of my Ultimate systems. And since then, I'm plus 44 points, so I'm heading in the right direction. So it's, my aims and goals are just to continue learning, continue with Ultimate. I'm now, since we've been in this lockdown, I've been diving into the FDD sheets, looking for systems to get me going when the next season, and when the season hopefully continues. and ultimately, I suppose my main aim is I want to do this for a living.
So that's where you're aiming for. And yes. And what? How long do you think that's going to take you?
Years, I would think.
Right. No, that's good. Yeah. I mean, I say to most people, it's a sort of 3 to 5 year project. To get and the big word, I mean, I've been talking to people over this last week, it's having the confidence to do it. It's having the confidence and the ability to ride through the dry times and keep it going.
Yeah, I mean, going back to when I started, you've said this numerous times on the pod, I would have been one of them people that went a few points down, quit, went on to the next thing. That's what I used to do. That's what I did for the first 6 months.
Yeah.
But now, I mean, I was nigh on 30 points down on Ultimate. And before, I would have been gone. But yeah. I stuck it out. I carried on. And now I'm 28 points up. So I've had that swing.
Mm.
And, yeah.
No, that's brilliant. I mean, I think, you know, anybody listening to this, that really is sage advice. It is that I don't know how many times people have to see that diving in, giving up doesn't work. I don't know what they think is going to be different the next time. If you're not giving anything time to work, I don't know how people suddenly think, well, I'll do that again and it'll work this time. It's that sort of the Einstein statement, isn't it? The sort of definition of madness, keep doing the same thing and expecting a different result.
It is, yeah, but that's the way I thought, and it takes having it drummed into you.
Yeah,
it
does. But I, you know, I'm a great one that when I say anybody can do it, I do believe that. I'm a firm believer in, you know, the book of the day I'm going to do on the pod today is very much about how hard work gets you there. I'm not a massive believer in natural talent. I think there are people who are naturally talented. Golf wise, I think, for example, Phil Mickelson, natural talent, but they just work fantastically hard. The people who get where they want to get work fantastically hard.
Oh, yeah. You look at Ronnie O'Sullivan. He is a genius, but he practices day in, day out.
Exactly, and has done since he was 8, 9, 10, 11 years of age or whatever it is. And I just think that for some reason in betting, and I don't know why, and it's been the same every time. You know, I go back when I spoke to Paul last week, I started doing seminars in 2013, they were all about that sort of side of it. They weren't really about betting, they're about mindset, your approach. For some reason in betting, people think that it's different. I just don't get it. They think they can pick up and get a six-figure income because it's going to be easy.
Yeah, you're 100% correct. I mean, I can't think who put it, but on Twitter a few months ago, someone said, in trading, people think you're going to become a professional overnight, but you don't put a pair of boxing gloves on and 3 weeks later jump in a ring and win your first professional fight, do you?
No, that's right. Do you think there's an element? I mean, I don't know because I don't really look at them. You may have looked at more than me. Do you think there's an element of the marketing in it that it's marketed to appear easy?
Yes. Yeah. And it's like it's reading people's bullshit on Twitter as well.
Yeah.
You do get sucked into that for every... Yeah. Decent person on Twitter, because there are a few. There's 3 or 4 arseholes.
Yeah, no, that's dead. No, I mean, I've always said, I mean, I'm hypocritical because I use it, but it is a cesspit. So we're looking for 2-3 years, son. You're going to be a legend, and you will be standing, not in a Wetherspoons, because we're not going to them anymore, but you'll be standing in the parcel yard at King's Cross, Tottenham Liverpool day, when we're going to win 4-0. And you'll be trading on your phone like I did that day.
You're still dreaming then.
And you, which part?
4-0.
And you, I was there when we beat you. I think we beat you 4-0 or 4-1. 4-0, I think it was, a few years ago. Modric scored.
Yeah.
And you're going to introduce me to a bloke who trades lizards.
Turning point, by the way.
Huh?
That was the turning point for Liverpool.
Well, when we gave you a good duffing.
It was, yeah.
Yeah, thanks ever so much. That's cheered me up knowing. And I mean, how things work, because we were both, I mean, we're a similar age. I'm 2 months older than you. You're 50 next June. I'm 50 in April 21. You're 50 June 21. But in 1978, I believe it was, we just both happened to be in the same football ground at the same time, didn't we?
What, the old 7-0?
So yeah, we don't need to mention the score, do we? We don't need to mention the score. We just need to talk about the circle of life, how we happened to be in the same place all those years ago. And here we are. And there's a fair chance we'll probably be having a 50th birthday drink. We don't need to talk about scores and what the occasion was and shit like that, do we?
Why not?
So obviously people are getting it that you're a massive Liverpool fan. Disappointed me when I found out, I'll be honest, because with your accent, you shouldn't be. And your hero is Kenny Dalglish.
Yes, 100%.
So when I put on the pod my little story about meeting Kenny Dalglish, broke your little heart, didn't it?
It did indeed.
So for those who haven't listened to that, a friend of mine qualified for the Open in 98 at Birkdale. And he missed the cut on the Saturday. So we went out for a meal and we had a good few beers. Obviously a fantastic achievement. He qualified for two Opens and he got me a ticket as his coach so we could go in the clubhouse and everything. But we went out for a meal and at the table next to us was Alan Hansen and Kenny Dalglish with their respective wives. And Kelly was certainly there and one of the other kids. And I'd had a few beers and decided it would be a good idea to go over and introduce myself and gatecrash their dinner. And we ended up talking. The families actually disappeared because I think they'd had enough of us. But we ended up talking football and golf till well late, midnight, gone midnight. Me telling Alan Hansen, who was arguably one of the best centre-backs at the time or in his career, that Sol Campbell was miles better than Marcel Desailly, who Chelsea had signed. I also were challenging them to golf regularly. They were both about two or three handicappers and telling them that they didn't have a fucking chance against me playing any time. And we did arrange a game, which, of course, in a drunken haze never took place. But I'll be fair, they were great fun. I mean, Kenny Dalglish is hard to understand because he just mumbles, doesn't he? There, it's very difficult to work out what he's saying.
Sense of humour, though.
You get about one every four words. But that was my story. You heard it on the pod, are absolutely gutted because you've got your own Kenny Dalglish story, haven't you?
I have got my own Kenny Dalglish story, and yes, the day I nearly met Kenny Dalglish.
Go on then, let's hear it.
Okay, right, well, we're going back to 1981 when sort of footballers needed a sort of side income because the wages weren't as good as they are nowadays in the Prem. And in the street I live was the manager of the local co-op in St Neots where I live, and he was arranging to get Kenny Dalglish down to sign autographs. So he needed it was back in the days of the still picture adverts on ITV. So he needed a picture to do an advert. So he came over to mine and borrowed a photograph of Kenny Dalglish that I had on my wall. And during the negotiations of getting him to come down and negotiate a price, Graham Pond, the manager, and my mum had decided that they were going to get Kenny Dalglish to come over and knock on my front door and I'd answer it and he'd come in and it'd be amazing. So this day came, I didn't know anything about this, and Kenny was walking across the street, got onto my drive, and Graham Pond's wife comes running, days before mobile phones, etc. Graham Pond's wife comes running out the door. Kenny, your wife's gone into labour. So, so as my mates now wind me up on a regular basis, he spun on his sixpence on the drive, his infamous turn that he used to do, went back across the street, got in his car, buggered off back to Liverpool. My mates wind me up all the time about this, obviously, and they've always joked about getting a plaque on the drive saying this is where Kenny Dalglish spun on his infamous sixpence.
This is where Gary Smith nearly met his childhood hero, Kenny Dalglish.
Absolutely gutted. My mum never told me. I found out by chance, I'd been out playing football over the park with my mates a couple of years later and came in, and she didn't realise I'd come in, and I heard her talking over to one of her mates about it, and I was absolutely gutted. And then when I found out that you'd met him, this doubled my...
Oh, well, never...
Every day.
Oh, well, never mind.
obviously, this has been... I mean, we won't talk about June, as I said to you in WhatsApp yesterday when we were setting this up, that I've become a bit renowned for missing sporting events. Obviously, I went to Japan for the Rugby World Cup. Tsunami struck, and it's the only game in history in the Rugby World Cup called off.
You are jinxed, man.
I was then due to go to Dortmund again to see Dortmund Schalke. I've been to Dortmund a few times, but I've never been. That's their derby. It's like the equivalent of the sort of North London derby. So I booked tickets this year to go to that, and the coronavirus struck. We've got tickets, along with a few other FTS people, for the Open down near me at St George's in Kent. That's now been called off. Unfortunately, I fucking wish it had started June the 1st, 2019.
You're not that lucky.
But how do you see the league panning out now? What's your views on it?
I'd like to think they can get it done. I hope they can get it done, because obviously I don't want Liverpool handed the title when the season hasn't finished. I don't want the season null and void for obvious reasons. But I'm thinking, well, I read yesterday that FIFA have asked or have told clubs they can extend contracts till the season's finished. So that sounds promising. So hopefully we can, if it's safe, squeeze it in from, say, July to September and delay the start of the league.
Next season. Do you think you'll win it if it restarts?
Yeah, it should do.
No, I mean, it is strange old times, isn't it? I think it certainly seems to be a consensus to get it done, and eventually you will be.
It'll be behind closed doors, but
eventually you will be crowned champions. I'd like it really to sort of happen sort of August the 31st, and the new season starts September the 1st.
Yeah,
so we don't have 8 or 9 weeks of you fucking talking about it in between. We can just get on with it.
Well, you'll have a lifetime.
Get it over and done with. Obviously, I grew up in the era when you were quite good, and it's been a long time. And the lockdown in general, obviously, you're somebody with young kids. How are you finding it?
Keeping myself busy. Learning, diving into a bit of Excel with Chrissy spreadsheets, you know, just generally keep myself busy. Yes, you go around a twist, I think. Yeah, kids are struggling a bit, I think.
Hello.
Not being able to get out, but it is what it is, you know.
Mm.
As long as you stay safe, that's the main thing.
Get them cooking, get some recipes.
They are cooking, yes. The FTS recipes have...
I might even start my own fitness videos on there from. I might start.
Yeah, I bet.
Oi!
Can I describe you as Gordon Ramsay with worse language?
And you've read The Slight Edge?
Yes, I've just finished The Slight Edge. Magnificent book.
Brilliant. Good boy. Excellent. Right, what else do you want to talk about? You got any other interests? Anything else you like? Anything that this FTS mob need to hear about?
I'm into all sports. Golf, love a bit of golf. Cricket, run a cricket team with my mate Graham. Both our kids are in the team. Love hiking, love the Lake District, going up there.
I didn't know that. You like a bit of walking and hiking, do you?
Yeah, love it. You should
get on the golf course with Suggsy. That's like a hike.
Like a slow walk with a snail, that is.
Right. Well, I've thoroughly enjoyed this, mate. That's been very good.
Yeah, cheers, mate.
Thank you ever so much for coming on.
Thanks for all what you do for everyone, you know, with the pod, keeping everyone's spirits up. It's been great. I've met loads of decent people through FTS. going to the racing. I've met the likes of Suggsy, Kev Kelly, John Woods, Andrew Marnell, Simon Paul, Joe Hamilton, all good blokes. There's a lot of good people in the FC.
I know there's a couple of Liverpool fans in there, John Woods, Andrew Marnell. You all tend to congregate and group together, don't you? Fucking knock it on the head, honestly.
It's the way it should be. It's the way it should be.
Last year, when you come into the old drink in London with John Woods hand in hand, like a couple of flipping, holding hands on the train down. Pathetic.
Not handed. That's what it's all about.
Pathetic. No, I mean, I think, as you say, the step into trading, it's good to hear from somebody who's new into it and getting across that grind. I know for a fact, knowing you and speaking to you, that you're determined. And obviously, we do speak away from FTS via WhatsApp and phone calls and things. I've got no doubt you'll get there. I genuinely haven't, but it is going to be a grind. And I will help you all I can, as I've said to you. Other than Liverpool, I really like you. You're a decent guy.
Spurs, I really like you.
But if there is an FTS member who lives in the St. Neots area who does do painting and decorating, the old wallpapering, Gary's does need sorting out. Right, on that, I'm off, me old mate. I'm going to leave you be. And I will, this will be on the pod. Thank you for coming on. And I will, I'll speak to you soon.
No problem. Cheers, Ian. Thanks a lot.
Cheers, mate. Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Right, thanks for that, Gary. Very kind of him to come on. I know some people fear it, but I've had some more offers. Next week, I am going to do Betty Blogger. He's going to be our Wednesday guest. Jeff is his name. He's been in the betting game, did his own blog. So I think that one will be a bit more in depth about the betting side, I'm sure. I know he uses a lot of automation, so we'll perhaps touch on that. So that is next week's guest, but thanks to Gary for coming on, obviously Suggsy last week, and I've got a few more of you lined up for the coming weeks. And then obviously when sport resumes, we'll get some of the experts on as well. The Steve Williamsons, Lee Rotheries, and that, the people who make a living trading themselves. So lots to come. Hope you find those, break the monotony of my voice up, and obviously you get little snippets and insights into it. So that is it. That is me done. I will be back with you tomorrow with recipes, books, joke of the day, I won't forget it, stat of the day, and more verbal nonsense, I expect. But have a great Wednesday, and I'll be with you tomorrow morning.